Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Richard McKinney, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Paul Kayada. So, Richard, transportation, DOT, views information, data, and technology as strategic assets. And I'd be interested, even in your federated model that you're working within, would you go over or give us an overview of the IT strategic plan? What are your key strategic priorities?
Well, you know, beyond what I've just talked about having, you know, re-architecting the infrastructure beneath it. We don't do IT for the sake of just doing IT. We do IT to affect an outcome. And to that end, as I've learned DOT, as I've learned transportation, as I've learned the various offices, I've tried to figure out, okay, how can we take this information technology and apply it to the mission of the department? And I have good modal CIOs or component CIOs that I'm working with on that. And again, what I'm trying to do is free them up from some of the basics, if you will, so that they can refocus on the business. But, you know, one of the things that jumped out at me after I'd been there, I don't know, 6 or 8 months, is one of the things that got siloed, just like the hardware, if you will, was the data. Mm. You know, we have a lot of data in the Department of Transportation, and it serves our programs very well. And they do a good job of getting the data they need to do their program. We also had, as I came in, you know, we were getting kudos from the White House and others about we'd made a lot of our data open to third parties to be able to look at that data and to be able to reuse it or use it to make programmatic suggestions, whatever, you know, people leveraging our data. But I also began to realize, well, yeah, but how are we sharing it internally? And have we given a lot of thought to how we manage data, store data, analyze data, exchange data between programs to look for synergies, if you will, between the data? And then, so while I was sort of mulling on that, I also came to realize that transportation, like many industries, is becoming increasingly digital. And we're about to head into a time when cars talk to one another. You know, they're connected on the road and exchanging information, cars and pedestrians and talking to the infrastructure, talking to the road, talking to the bridge, not far in the future after that will be cars that will drive themselves. So, you know, when people talk about big data, you know, in the transportation world, that's very true. So it's a little like, you know, we have a lot of data, but then we think about the future and realize, oh my gosh, someday we'll look back on all this and we'll say we hardly had any data at all. And the amount of data, it'll be like a tsunami that hits us. And so at that point, I started, you know, talked to the secretary and others and said, you know, we really need to start talking about data. I hired the first cabinet level chief data officer. There was a gentleman in my department who was working as a contractor and was incredibly knowledgeable and had the kind of cross-agency view of the data that a lot of the programs didn't have because they don't have time to necessarily look around at others. They have programmatic responsibilities, but he had, in his position, had seen the whole picture, if you will, and we hired him as our first chief data officer. He's putting together a strategic plan around data, and it's an exciting time because I think we're doing the baby steps, the initial steps, if you will, of preparing ourselves for that tsunami. We're having conversations about how we do data governance, just like I was talking about almost like infrastructure governance. How do we govern around data? How do we standardize our data so that it's either interoperable and exchangeable and where we can mash it up easily without having to build a bunch of Rube Goldberg machines between data sets in order to do analysis? And I think we're in the early stages, but we're doing the things, I think, that will benefit from down the road as the amount of data piles up, you know, both structured and unstructured data, that we will be prepared for what's coming at us.
So you touched on the internal drivers, and I want to talk about external drivers, government mandates, maybe FITARA. Could you tell us how that's sort of shaped or informed your strategic vision for IT at DOT?
Well, the conversation that the federal government is having right now about FATAR, you know, it's passed in December. We're in the stage where the Office of Management and Budget is, you know, conducting a series of meetings and dialogues with the various communities in the federal government about the guidelines that they will issue to be implemented to make FATAR, take it from a law to reality. And it's a great time, I think, for the federal government. It's a great conversation for the federal government to have because sort of to touch on some of the things I said earlier about the federal government being behind a little bit. You know, the FATAR, there's a lot of discussion around the authorities that the CIOs will get under FATAR, but you know, there's a whole backside of the FATAR legislation, and they'll be in these guidelines about all the things CIOs are going to be held accountable for. Mm-hmm. So there's this new sense of CIOs need to be held accountable for the performance around things like, you know, data center consolidation and you know, IT investments and shared services, and those are great things to be held accountable for. So now Congress has weighed in and said, okay, since we're expecting all these things from them, and we've spelled out what those results we expect for the CIOs to achieve. We also realize that we can't hold somebody accountable for things for which they have no authority. Mm-hmm. And so the other part of this legislation that's very important is for the first time in, you know, since Clinger-Cohen, which I think, if I remember right, it's like 95, 96, since then, this is the first redefinition. So 20 years later, we're defining what's it like to be a CIO in today's world, and what does it take to be a CIO in today's world? So as an external driver, I think that's great. And I, as a CIO, I welcome that pressure, if you will, or that expectation that you have to perform. I feel lucky to have this job. I feel honored to have this job. And, you know, and I wake up every day, you know, looking forward to being held accountable for all this. But I also recognize that I have to have matching authority in order to be able to deliver on that accountability.
You have an oversight responsibility for an IT portfolio of over $3 billion annually. And yet your department's IT mission has really historically been a decentralized, federated environment. Could you briefly elaborate on the challenges inherent with this type of IT structure? So on the one hand, you want to have a correct balance and have the department get its due. On the other hand, you want to protect the autonomy of your operating units and the way that they enforce the mission.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, we have a number of operating missions. You know, of that $3 billion, two of it's roughly is in FAA, which we're operating the national airspace. Huge responsibility. And it's different. It's a different kind of, you know, it's very operational as opposed to rulemaking and policy and grant issuance and all that. So it's, although they have some of that in there, obviously the huge component of FAA is running the national airspace. And so when I came in, it was pointed out to me right away. I said, you know, the FAA is so different than the rest of the department. But yet when I sat down with the CIO from the FAA, I found that she was really trying to have the same conversation with all the offices of the FAA that I was initially, the same conversation I was initially having with all the other operating administrations. So what we decided to do was to assist one another and to help one another, and for the non-FAA part of the department to leverage, you know, the buying power and the size of FAA. It's good to have a big brother like that, you know, and to have that kind of economy of scale and leverage that for everyone else. At the same time, we also began to think, what could we do together so that over time we could consider what things we could actually do in a shared services environment with one another. One of the first things we agreed to do and tackle was around cloud computing. We went together on a cloud computing contract that we hope will come to fruition sometime this year. So that's, I think, how we're trying to be great partners with one another and acknowledge that the two worlds are quite different, but that doesn't mean we can't leverage one another.
So, Richard, I want to talk to you a little bit about your commitment or the department's commitment to virtualization first or the consolidation of data centers. Can you tell us what you're doing in that area?
Well, yes. I'm glad to. When I came in, there was a mandate from OMB to consolidate data centers. And so one of the first briefings I got from the team was around the efforts in that regard to date. And so as I looked at what we were being asked to do, OMB had asked us to try to figure out a way to reduce our footprint by about 40%. When I looked at my first cut at the data, I came to realize, well, we're going to have to first define what a data center is. Because, for example, and to use FAA as an example, FAA has significant information technology equipment in every flight control tower. Well, you're not going to consolidate that. You know, no flight control tower is just going to be connected to somewhere else by an internet pipe and think that that's a sufficient construct. So it's a little like the Army, you know, or the Navy. Let's use the Navy. Navy has a battleship and it goes to sea. Well, it takes its data center with it, you know, and flight control towers are these. So I thought, you know, we really ought to park that. Obviously, FAA is probably working on ways that they can consolidate systems within their national airspace and flight control towers included. But so I said, you know, let's put that aside. And then let's all go to the other end, the very small end. And I said, you know, if every Department of Transportation office that has a telecom closet and there's a file and print server in there, that doesn't make that a data center either. That file and print center or server might be in there just to be able to serve that local office and to cut down on the amount of pipe, if you will, and the amount of data moving in and out across the internet from like central office and whatnot. But clearly we had things that lay in the middle, those data centers. So when I talked to our team about that, I said, well, let's not only look at the data centers, let's look about the way we connect the offices with the pipes. Let's, you know, do we have cities where each one of the operating administrations present in that city are running a separate drop for that office? What about we try to consolidate that pipe and then try to figure out which offices really were candidates for folding into one another? And so we're well down the road now of having a real plan that we can work on. I don't know what the numbers will end up being, whether it'll be the 40% or not. But I think our goal at the end is to come up with a construct that makes sense, that is cost effective, as well as operationally effective for the offices in the different parts of the country that we serve. So that's been a great challenge and one that we readily accepted.
Are you doing anything? I mean, you mentioned before about feeding the beast, so to speak, and that's the diversity or overlap of infrastructure, which leads to higher maintenance costs and a whole other host of other issues. Are you doing anything to implement an integrated portfolio-based IT investment management approach, sort of like a consolidated?
Yeah, and we're in the early stages that I won't proclaim that we're, you know, have a very mature model on that, but we're having those conversations. We're taking our, you know, our strategic plan and we're, you know, my chief technical officer is working hard on an enterprise architecture. We're doing, I think, what we need, the homework we need to do to be able to, because again, what I'm trying to do is get the operating administrations to move into that shared environment. And so when I first had that conversation with them, they said, well, when you get it built and you get it humming and working right, you know, come back and we'll talk again. And I said, no. You need to be involved in the architecture. This common operating environment, this shared service environment, if it's going to meet your needs, it has to have your input. So we've formed some committees where representatives from all of the operating ministers are sitting at the table working on these various issues, whether it be a telecom network, user personas, all that strategic planning, we've tried to make them a part of it. Because at the end of the day, we have to serve their needs. We can't sit in a central shop and guess at what they need or try to tell them what they need, which would be even worse. We have to invite them into the discussion. And also, and I said to them, because then when we're done building it, I won't have to convince you to move into it. You'll move into it because you designed it and you want to come into it. So,
how is the U.S. Department of Transportation keeping pace with transformative IT advances? We will ask Richard McKinney, Chief Information Officer at DOT, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.